As a Muslim, I'm exhausted, dot, dot, dot. That's the headline in Nabila Chabi's recent article published in Religion Dispatches magazine. For those of us who do not face daily demands that we personally respond in some way to the horrors of ISIS terror threats, it's an invaluable reminder of what it means to be a Muslim in America today. And I'm very pleased that it brings Nabila Chabi to State of Belief Radio. Nabil, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You write that the simplistic good Muslim versus bad Muslim paradigm is having a destructive effect on the community. Start with that, please.
Sure. Well, I think we have been told for a long time by non-Muslims and Muslims, and I would say that both of those parties are very well-meaning in their attempt to try to rectify some of the biases of the coverage of Muslims, not only here in the United States, but all over the world, particularly after 9/11, to try to counter this negative portrayal of Islam with positive images and positive narratives. And what I'm arguing in this piece is that I think that these positive narratives can be as equally damaging as the negative portrayals because they reify this trope of narratives about Muslims as speaking only as agents of their faith, that Muslims speak only as Muslims and nothing else. And I was literally exhausted. I have been for a while. I was one of those people who thought at the beginning that that's how you counter these lingering images and narratives about Muslims. But then it dawned on me that we are just perpetuating a very stagnant view of Islam and of Muslims, all over the world, by the way.
You seem to be saying that a lot of Muslims have been trapped by a fear of being multidimensional or even flawed, as we all are, human beings.
Yes, because in this attempt to retrieve some sort of a perfect, sanitized Muslim, to counter the images, the totalizing images of Muslims, whether it's in the news or in popular culture, we have really built this idea of a perfect Muslim. And the more we do this, I think the more we trap ourselves in that narrative. And as well-meaning as organizations as CARE and ISNA and many other organizations, not only here in the U.S. but all across the world, they are also reifying these images, and they are making Muslims look like they are very unidimensional, that they are devout Muslims who pray, who do this, who do that, but not really give a very complex, multidimensional representation of what Muslims can do away from the lens of piety. This is not the only thing that defines who we are. We do other things. We speak from different vantage points, and we cannot be reduced always to this idea that we are moral beings who are constantly looking to react to the immorality of the world, because that makes us look like we are some perfect being who are not living in the world in the first place.
Your headline is a take on the Reddit as a Muslim dot 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 meme. That's kind of what you're talking about, breaking out of a sanitized version of being publicly Muslim. Can you describe that campaign?
Absolutely. I mean, that as a Muslim, I condemn Ebola really captured the essence of what I'm trying to say here. We have condemned and we have apologized so much and so often that our condemnations and our apologies really don't serve us any good. If someone wants me to apologize first before I speak as a Muslim, I find that very problematic. They are basically saying that the only condition for me to be accepted into the realm of talking about anything is for me first to apologize about what other Muslims could be doing somewhere else. I mean, I could ask the same question, I won't, but it's almost akin to asking the same question of a Christian, telling them, well, if there is a militant Christian who decides they want to bomb an abortion clinic, and they did, would you want first and foremost to apologize for what they did as a Christian before we can have any kind of conversation in the first place? And I find that very similar here. I think the frustration has been that we are seen and perceived as agents of our own faith, and we can speak only if we apologize, only if we condemn. And because our images and narratives and presence in the media is far and between when it comes to entertainment, when it comes to good, complex conversations about Islam and anything else, the only presence that we have is this kind of presence where we are brought in just to defend ourselves and to prove ourselves and prove to the world, particularly the non-Muslim world, that we are not those guys. We're not ISIS. We're not these barbarians. We don't do these kinds of things. Our faith is a faith of peace. And we play into that trap over and over and over again. And it doesn't really help that much. That at least is my argument. And I think the sentiment of the Reddit campaign was very similar to mine, and saying that it's actually so ridiculous that as Muslims, we are going to say that we condemn Ebola as well. I am here really reminded by a beautiful segment from the Hijabi Monologues group in Ireland of this woman who is veiled, and she's talking about how she's exhausted to be taken as the emblem of an entire religion and of 1.2 billion people. And then she's really asking that question herself: why is it that you're looking at me as this Muslim almost prototype, right? You deploy me for everything. So she's talking about her friends who are asking her a question about, explain to us here what it means that Muslims have to go on jihad, and explain to us what it means to wear the veil. And if she's looking a little bit down, they must be making all kinds of assumptions that she might not be liberated, that she's oppressed, or if she's not saying something really smart, then they might think of her as someone who is just, you know, memorizing things and not thinking for herself. And after what happened with Bill Maher and Sam Harris and Ben Affleck, and then the New York Times really asking that question in that room for debate, where they asked a variety of Muslims to articulate a little bit if Muslims should be defending their faith against extremism. Then I said, you know, that's it. I mean, every single thing that happens, we have to condemn it. We have to apologize for it. And we have to bring out our good Muslims. We have to bring out our sanitizers. It's almost like they're waiting in a room and you can deploy them. And that's not who we are. I mean, we should not be trying to provide something that is so put together, that is so perfect, that is so stable. Our stories are as problematic and as fractured as anybody else's. And we should be proud of that, and we should be exposing more of that frailty in our human experience, more so than our perfection as moral beings. I'm not saying that people should cease doing these things and should cease talking about these things, but I'm just saying that I think at this point in time, it's far more urgent for us to really start talking about other things other than our faith and our religion. And it's not only this group. I mean, many other groups. I mean, look at the Jewish experience in this country. Look at the African-American experience in this country. I mean, we need to follow the examples of this. And I think that if we look a little bit more closely and historically at these other groups, we might find really good lessons to learn from, because that's the only way we can help assuage really this plight, this problem of representation of Muslims.
I think in light of the Reddit meme and of your article's headline, it might be really valuable to have you complete the sentence fully. As a Muslim, ...
I am still exhausted, I would say. As a Muslim, I feel that my faith is important, but it's not the only thing that is important about me. As a Muslim, I feel that my voice is not completely represented. There are many Muslims who don't see themselves in this binary of good Muslim versus bad Muslim. It sets up a very high and unreachable bar for us as human beings, and we should be just like anybody else, not trying to cling to some kind of perfection, and really get down and say, you know, our lives are just as messy as anybody else's, and we need to acknowledge that, and we need to say it and be proud of it. We are just like anybody else. Yes, we have a faith that we believe in and that we think is great and is exemplary and all of those things, but there are other people who have also their faith, and their faith is telling them the same thing. But we do other things, and I would like, as a Muslim, I would like those other things to be also part of the story.
Nabil Achabi is Associate Professor in Media Studies and Associate Director of the Center for Media, Religion, and Culture at the University of Colorado Boulder. His Religion Dispatches piece is headlined, "As a Muslim, I'm Exhausted." It's well worth reading, and we'll link to it from stateofbelief.com.
Well, thank you. This is a wonderful conversation, and thank you again for inviting me to talk about my piece.
Before we go, much of my week as a journalist covering religion and politics was consumed by a story that exploded in Houston, Texas. A quick summary. The city council approved a human rights ordinance granting some dignity in public accommodations to transgender persons. You know, the right to use the appropriate restroom and things like that. An opposition movement quickly developed, led by conservatives who have long fought pro-LGBT initiatives in the city, including many purportedly Christian leaders. There was a petition drive to put the ordinance to a public vote on a referendum. Then the city attorney invalidated many of the signatures on the petition, and the referendum initiative died. The conservatives sued the city, and then, in a move as overzealous as my corgi chasing a bunny out of the yard, city attorneys decided to subpoena everything from conservative faith leaders who were not even parties to the lawsuit, everything that they had said, preached, texted, or sermonized about sexual minorities and LGBT rights. Terrible legal strategy, a constitutional mess, or a failure to foresee the most predictable political reaction? The far right is building the midterm campaign on claims that Christianity is under attack in this country. Houston's attorneys handed the religious right a gift on a silver platter. It's like a made-for-TV movie that Rick Santorum's production company would have made if they had thought of it. The mayor, openly gay. The ordinance, not even enacted yet. The subpoenas, blatantly unconstitutional. You can read my reporting on this over at Religion Dispatches. No surprise, Welton had a quotable response to all of this in an open letter he wrote to Houston's mayor, Anise Parker. That's why I quoted him in my column, and I want to quote him here on his own show. He said, quote, "I will work as hard to defend the freedom of speech from the pulpit for those with whom I disagree as I will to defend the rights of the LGBT community. As long as a sermon is not inciting violence, the government has no business getting involved in the content of ministers' sermons." End quote. The mayor's office has been working hard to distance itself from this subpoena, blaming city lawyers for the overreach. But let's hope a lesson about religious freedom has been learned, because sadly, for this election cycle at least, it's too late for any lesson in culture war politics. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. It's been an honor to sit in for Welton Gaddy. Thank you for listening. Now to wrap up, I'll turn things over to producer Ray Kirstein.
Our thanks to journalist Sarah Posner. Read her work at Religion Dispatches, Al Jazeera America, and elsewhere, as well as at sarahposner.com. Sarah hosts a popular program at Blogging Heads TV and is the author of God's Prophets, Faith, Fraud, and the Republican Crusade for Values Voters. Welton Gaddy will be back next week. Your generous support is essential in helping to make this show possible. Please visit stateofbelief.com and consider making a contribution today. We'll use it wisely to keep State of Belief on the air and to expand the reach of this program. Every week we hear from listeners across the country who say they rely on our show for the kind of inclusive, respectful approach to interreligious dialogue they can't find anywhere else. Stateofbelief.com is where you can find out more about the show, hear extended interviews, and watch in-studio videos, as well as read transcripts and sign up for our podcasts. Stay in touch with us throughout the week on Facebook and Twitter. The listener line is 202-681-4246. We encourage you to tell others about the show and encourage them to listen, too. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics, only here on State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. You see, world. Well,